Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
They work quietly but tirelessly. They influence our ecosystem like a ripple effect on a water. They arrive when life first moved to dry land. They survive the dinosaurs. They outnumber the grains of sand on all the world's beaches, and they will be here long after us. Extraordinary insects is what we're talking about now. And the author of this, Anne Sverdrup-Tigerson, joins us now. Good morning. Did I get your surname correct, Anne?
Sounds very, very good. Very good.
I've been worrying about that for about 3 weeks. Now, you're a professor of conservation biology. That's correct, isn't it? As well as a scientific advisor.
Yes, that's right.
And you clearly are a big fan of insects.
Yes, I mean, shouldn't everybody be? They are just the most amazing little critters that we share the planet with.
Yeah. Is there a biological definition of what an insect is?
Yes, definitely. And the simplest rule is just to count legs. Because all insects do have six legs. So if you can sort of keep on counting after coming to six, then the creature you're looking at is something else, like a spider, for instance, which has eight legs.
So, for example, a centipede is not an insect.
That is correct. That is not an insect. Related, but not an insect.
Oh, that's a fact I had no idea about. So, as I mentioned there in the intro, they've been around a very long time, and they arrived when life first moved onto dry land.
Yes, they were among the earliest sort of creatures that developed together with plants. And, of course, this sort of connection between plants and insects have led to some fascinating results, because they have been sort of evolving as a pair, cooperating in different ways with pollination and seed dispersal and things like that for several hundred million years.
Incredible. I can't imagine the dinosaurs were that interested in eating insects, were they?
I guess some of them were, but I think it is quite interesting to think about the fact that the insects were actually, you know, the only flying creature for 150 million years.
How amazing.
Or any sort of flying dinosaurs or flying things of other sorts of creatures came along.
That's amazing. And they outnumber the grains of sand on all the world's beaches. That's quite a fact, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, these numbers, you know, if you try to count the number of insect individuals living right now, it's like a one with 42 zeros behind, and that is such a huge number. It's hard to sort of grasp.
But even with that vast number, they're not necessarily having the best time of it, are they? Because I believe they've decreased by 45% in the time that we've doubled our population the past 35 years.
Yes, that's right. From the very few data that we do have, I mean, there's a lot of knowledge that we are lacking still when it comes to insects and how they're faring, because nobody has really cared that much about these small creatures, even though they're so important. But
what's that down to then, Anne? What's the main reason for their decline?
That is pretty much the way we use the agricultural land. Yeah. Intensive use of agricultural land, the fact that we are destroying these little habitats where the insects are living. I mean, the sort of meadows with lots of flowers, for instance, forests, old growth forests, a lot of bedwood, which is a really important insect habitat. And of course, then you can add pesticides and climate change and introduced species on top of that. And it's not so great to be an insect these days.
No, absolutely. And I imagine if you asked 10 people whether they thought that was a good thing, that insects were dying off, they'd probably say yes, it is, because they don't like them very much. But that's not really the story, is it? Because they're very important.
Yes, and I think it's important to realize that those very few insects that are actually bothersome, I mean, they make up like much, much less than 1% of all the species. And the immense, I mean, all the rest are really doing things that help us humans survive. every day. They are really the small things that make the world tick. They recirculate, they decompose, you know, all sorts of dead matter, dead plants and dead trees and dead animals and the dung. They pollinate our crops, which is quite important. And they are, of course, food for a lot of other animals, like birds, for instance, or freshwater fish. So, I mean, there's no way we could survive without them. And I really do think that the insects, they deserve a lot more praise and cred for all the good stuff they're doing.
Absolutely. And they don't have the best time of it. I mean, despite the fact that every other species on the globe is an insect, they live pretty much everywhere, including in the stomach of horses and the nostrils of walrus. Not the best place for a home, I wouldn't have thought.
No, I guess. But I mean, that sort of serves to illustrate that they have sort of evolved to be able to live in the strangest places.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them would be out in our forests or, you know, in our flower, in our meadows and things like that. But they also appear in the strangest places. And there are all these weird and bizarre stories to tell about them, which is one of the reasons why I think it's fun to work with insects, because they do such a lot of amazing things.
When I watch a program which is under the water and they discover all kinds of bizarre creatures at great depths in the oceans, is it a similar thing with insects that a lot of them are not known to us, or have we pretty much mapped the insect world, if you see what I mean?
Yeah, no. I mean, there are lots of species left to map there.
Right.
At present, we know about 1 million species of insects, and we think it's maybe 20% of all there is. There might be 5-6 million species, maybe possibly even a lot more. But you know, a lot of them are really, really tiny. When these are so small that you sit on the short end of a hair from your head, then you realize how extremely small some of these are. And of course, that makes it hard to get a good grasp of all the species.
And they have, they're odd creatures, it has to be said. They carry their skeleton on the outside of their body like a coat of armor. They can have ears on their knees. They can have a tongue under their feet. Fascinating things.
Yes, isn't it? It's sort of, I think it's cool to know next time, you know, that a housefly is sort of walking on your food, that the reason for that is because it actually tastes with feet. So it's like, if you could sort of take off your shoes and walk through a strawberry field in the summer, you would be able to taste the strawberries through the soles of your feet. That would have been something.
How amazing. Now, you've hit on an interesting one there, the housefly. They're probably one of the most irritating of the insects that people would name, I would think. And I would imagine, like me, most people would say, well, what actually is the point of a housefly? It's just an irritating creature.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is that they are doing sort of what they have evolved to do. And every now and then they come too close to us. But, I mean, flies are really extremely important creatures in many ways. The relative of the housefly, the fruit fly, the other sort of irritating little fly that might live in your home, is actually one of the most important animals that we have in biomedical research. It has been part of no less than 6 Nobel Prizes. And it's extremely important for science.
Another one which I'm afraid kind of strikes terror into people is cockroaches. Surely they can't be useful.
Well, I mean, the majority of the world's cockroaches are just out there doing what they're supposed to do, which is to decompose sort of rotten leaves and stuff and turn it into soil that new plants can grow in, which is really useful. And, you know, there are as many different species of cockroaches as there are species of mammals. So again, those few that we see in our houses are just a very, very little minority. And actually, they are so good at moving around. So people have studied them to use when people are trapped in a sort of a collapsed building.
Yeah.
You actually equip these little cockroaches with a backpack and a microphone, and you can remotely control them through this backpack so that you can send them into this collapsed house, and the microphone can then detect any people are in there, any humans are in there sort of crying for help. And then you can pinpoint exactly where they are through this, using this remotely controlled cockroaches, and actually come and help them.
I'm staggered. Remotely controlled cockroaches. That's a fantastic thing. Let me ask you about food and insects, because of course many places in the world eat insects. In Southeast Asia, you're on every street corner, there's street food made up of all kinds of things that are fried up, and they're very good for you. And the world is moving towards, is it not, eating insects because of their high protein content.
Yes, that is true. And I mean, it's already 2 billion people, as you're saying, in the world that are eating insects as part of their regular diet. So I definitely think that that can be sort of one step towards a less meat-based diet, which is the direction we have to move in order to sort of take care of this globe in the long run.
Yeah.
And also, it's very interesting that you can use this sort of circular economy, where you can actually use, for instance, meat that has gone bad, that can no longer be used for human consumption. And you can use that to sort of feed a small fly larva that you can use as fodder for your farm animals, for chicken, for instance, or for fish, as we're farming a lot of in Norway.
How interesting. And as an insect lover, Anne, have you snacked on a cockroach or two or not?
Not a cockroach, but definitely some grasshoppers and some mealyworms and stuff like that. Yes.
Fantastic. Well, they are incredible creatures, and they're explained in detail in your wonderful book, Extraordinary Insects. We thank you for coming on today, Anne, and telling us all about them. I will look at flies. In fact, there's one in the studio right now. I'm going to have a chat with the fly in a moment and ask it how it's getting on, and ask it to show me its smelling abilities on its feet. Lovely to talk to you, Anne. Have a lovely day.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.